It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Federal funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, is set to expire on Saturday, leaving up to 700,000 people in Wisconsin without access to the assistance they need to keep food on the table.
Earlier this week, Attorney General Josh Call announced that Wisconsin is joining 22 other states in a lawsuit against the Trump administration for refusing to use emergency funds to keep SNAP going amid the government shutdown.
Now, local food banks and pantries are bracing for a surge in demand during the already busy month of November as families prepare to gather for the holidays.
Jackie Anderson is here, Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin. It's a statewide network of food banks that provides food to 1,000 local food programs throughout the state. Jackie, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So with Food Share, as these benefits are called here in Wisconsin, what will happen on Saturday?
So what will happen on Saturday is for anybody who is a SNAP recipient, they will not receive new SNAP benefits for the month of November. I do want to clarify, and I'll probably say this a couple of times throughout our time together today, but if someone does have remaining October benefits, they are absolutely eligible to use those throughout the month of November.
And so there has been some confusion around whether electronic benefits transfer, EBT cards, will still be functional after November 1st. Will SNAP recipients be able to use holdover funds still on their EBT cards in November?
Yeah, yep, absolutely. So as long as they have a remaining balance, they will absolutely be able to use them in, any local grocery stores that they, or, you know, Walmarts, wherever they purchase their groceries, they're able to use those throughout the month of November.
Some families might be seeing this and thinking about, you know, maybe stocking up as much as they can before Saturday. Do you have any advice for how SNAP recipients can prepare in this moment?
I think it's really understanding everybody has a choice. And if someone chooses to use all their SNAP benefits, they absolutely can do that. However, we also need to couch that with understanding that our food banks and food pantries are already being inundated with new neighbors who are trying to stock up. So really being cognizant of how long you can stretch your benefits, as well as understanding that we have to make sure that there's food for everybody.
To that point you're making, a lot of food pantries around the state have already seen this increase in traffic the past couple years, even more than at the height of the pandemic. And earlier this month, we talked with Matt Steenstra from Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin. Here's what he had to say.
No food pantry is going to be able to accept and serve all the people that come through their doors if there's no food share benefits in November.
Jackie, how are the food banks that you work with preparing for this to happen and for the busy season ahead?
Yeah, I'll give you an example of Feed My People, which is located in Eau Claire. They knew that people were going to start stocking up, and they reached out to their local vendors and, you know, ensured that they had at least what they thought would be a couple weeks of food on the shelves and ready to go. And within a couple days, all that food was gone. So I think every single food bank is doing their best to make sure that they get as much food on the shelves as possible. But like Matt said, food share is so critical in being one big piece of the pie to make sure that everybody has the food that they need for the month of November.
Is the food that you distribute to these local programs, is it costing more?
It's an interesting question. I have heard there are some vendors who are increasing their price because they recognize that there is competition now because so many different food banks and pantries are trying to get food. I can't speak statewide, but mm-hmm. I have heard of a few instances where vendors or producers are increasing their prices.
And Saturday also marks the first day of new work requirements for SNAP recipients throughout the country. What can you tell us about these new work requirements and how that could impact food access here in Wisconsin?
So the food requirements will affect about 43,000.
Work requirements. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so it will impact about 43,000 SNAP recipients starting in, it's actually not going to start until February of 2026.
Okay.
So what that means is that any adult up to the age of 64, if there is not a child under the age of 14 in their home, then they're being required to now submit work requirements. So, you know, that's it. If you're thinking about people who haven't had to do that in the past, that's going to be a new piece that is going to require additional support from our county and our state folks who process the SNAP applications.
Jackie, thank you so much for this update.
You're welcome. Thank you for the time.
That is Jackie Anderson, Executive Director of Feeding America. We've been talking about how families and communities are bracing for SNAP funding to expire this weekend, leaving nearly 700,000 people throughout the state without food assistance. Now, as the government remains shut down, it's putting Head Start programs in jeopardy. That's the 60-year-old federal early education program for children under six. If federal Head Start funding doesn't resume by Saturday, programs around the country and in Wisconsin could close. Jenny Maurer is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Head Start Association. Jenny, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
We've already heard from the Southwest Community Action Program saying it's closing 9 Head Start classes, Head Start classrooms on Monday. Who does this program serve? How many children could potentially be affected here?
Yeah, so it sounds like you've already spoken with the folks at Southwest CAP. So, you know, Head Start in Wisconsin, what we know about those families is those are working families. Those are our friends and neighbors. They're working in our community. So Southwest CAP, we're looking at roughly 115 preschool age kiddos who won't have access to services. And so that will really have a ripple effect across that community in Southwest Wisconsin. We know that about 30 plus staff will be furloughed. And then, you know, you really wonder, 3- and 4-year-olds, they can't watch themselves. So that means that their families will struggle to get to work. It means the staff of those programs won't be getting a full paycheck. They'll be accessing unemployment benefits. And then again, because those are working families, they're gonna be making really tough choices about what is happening with their family budgets. And as you just heard, they're simultaneously being hit with food access challenges. So families are gonna be faced with impossible situations about how to pay their bills, how to get food for their families, and you know how to do things like pay their rent, pay medical bills, et cetera. So it really means that families are going to be put in really tough situations next week.
Jenny, are you hearing about other Head Start programs beyond Southwest CAP that are doing this furloughing and temporary shutdown?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So in Wisconsin, we have 39 Head Start programs, and they have grant renewals across the calendar year. And we have two. So in addition to Southwest CAP, we have another program, Sheboygan Human Rights Association, that is waiting for a grant renewal in November. So Sheboygan Human Rights Association, they're able to use some state funding, so a different funding source that isn't on the same, doesn't have the same issues related to the federal shutdown. And they're going to be able to stay open for roughly 2 more weeks into mid-November. And then they're also looking at suspending services about November 14th, and that'll impact roughly 170 children and approximately 48 staff. So again, same situation in Sheboygan where it'll really have a ripple effect across that community, impacting kids, families, staff, and really an economic cornerstone of the Sheboygan community.
How quickly could services reopen once the government shutdown ends and funding resumes?
So that's a great question. I think it's going to be dependent on a number of factors. One, they're going to have to work with the federal government to see how quickly they can process the grant renewal. we're really in uncharted territory with the federal government on a number of fronts. There was a way a government shutdown went forward in previous administrations, and there's how it seems to be proceeding now. So they will have to process copious amounts of paperwork to get the grant renewal out so that these organizations can then begin accessing funding. And depending on how much longer this goes on, each staff person who works for both of these organizations is going to have to be making their own family decisions. And so each organization will have to, you know, be in touch with their staff teams to, you know, see who is coming back. And hopefully, you know, Head Start staff are the most committed and amazing people. But if this drags on, I'm sure that we will have staff who are going to have to make very difficult decisions about whether or not they can stay with their programs.
Jenny, I recall earlier this year that many Head Start programs were using lines of credit and emergency funding to stay open when some of their funding was delayed from the federal government. Are you seeing that the case again for programs in Wisconsin? What about lines of credit?
Yeah, great question. So neither of these programs have opted to take a line of credit. That's certainly something that has been up for discussion. I think a really tricky part of that calculation is, will the federal government allow, when they reopen, programs to use, once the funding does get sorted out post-shutdown, would they allow them to use the funding to pay back a line of credit? And I think a big difference is that we don't have the same sort of communication and trusting relationship that we have previously had with the Office of Head Start. There's a tremendous lack of communication, and it's very unclear whether or not it would be an option. So it's a big risk to take out a line of credit if you don't know that you can use new funds to pay it back.
Jenny, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Jenny Maurer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Head Start Association. And earlier, we heard from Jackie Anderson, Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin, with a status update in this government shutdown.